Good morning, welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. We have a great show for you today, don't we, Kathy Houston?
I'm having deja vu, big time.
All over again?
Yeah. All right. Last week, we talked about what's the best business you've ever learned. And Kathy, you did not get to tell us about your business lesson. In fact, I think we're going to go around the room because we've all learned some great business lessons over the years, the old sages that we are.
Did you just call us all old?
Well, old sages.
I'm the youngest of the lot, so. It doesn't matter. I'm the youngest of the lot.
All right, Kathy Houston, what's the business? Business lesson you've
Mine is don't ever send an email, even in jest, that you wouldn't want the whole world to read.
Oh, yes. And do you speak from experience?
I speak from, yes, experience, okay. As we all know.
Yes, so that happened to you.
It happened to me.
This summer, and I think we immediately told everyone else your tale because it's something that we all send our emails in jest.
That's right.
And we wanted to use you as an example.
As a matter of fact, the day it happened, I went out drinking with Vinny that night.
And you never go
I
out,
was there for that.
And yeah,
you never go out drinking after work.
No.
So it was certainly
a
harrowing
day. Yes, it was
traumatic. Yes. That's a great piece of business.
We fixed her at the bar, though.
Yeah, they fixed me.
Okay. Great. Andy, what's the big thing?
I have some contrarian advice.
Okay, interesting.
As usual.
Yep. Am I going to argue with you?
Surprise.
Are you going to argue?
Surprise.
You might. Yeah, you might. It's ignore your competition.
That's a great piece of advice.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think people spend too much time worrying about what their competitors are doing in the marketplace. Do your own thing. Don't worry so much about if you're doing the same thing as them or something that's just a little bit different so you could stand out. Do your thing and do it really well and come up with your own ideas.
That's the key, though. You've got to be rocking it.
Well, yeah. Well, if you're doing a good business, then I would assume you are, quote, rocking it. But no, I think people spend way too much time wondering about what their competitors' pricing is and what their latest marketing campaign is and what customers they're calling on. Don't worry about it. Focus on your own business and do your own business as creatively and as effectively as you possibly can.
Andy, for once, that is great advice.
That is great advice.
Thank you.
For once.
And, this is maybe a touchy topic for distributors, but I would say that, too, for distributors who are looking to retain their salespeople, because a lot of times they're worried about, other distributors poaching their salespeople. And, again, if you're focused on creating a great environment and a successful environment for your own salespeople, then you shouldn't worry about other people trying to poach because, if you keep them happy, they'll stay.
That's right. Focus on your own business. Don't worry so much about what everybody else is doing. Focus internally on what you're doing and how you're helping your customers.
All right. Great business lesson from Andy Cohn. Joe Haley.
Yes.
What's your best business advice?
This comes from my dad. I was lucky enough when I was in college to work at the same company he worked in for a summer job. And he told me that you treat everyone who you work with in the company with respect and be friendly to them because you have no idea how they might be able to help you out down the road in your career.
So you're just being nice so people will help you.
So you have surreptitious mode.
No. It's because you have no idea what that guy in the warehouse can help you with down the road. If you're not nice to him and not pleasant to him and don't treat him with respect, he may not be so, willing to help you out. And also realize that there's people in your company that are doing jobs that you have to be thankful that you don't have to do those jobs. So greet everyone with
nice
a smile.
To everyone.
Yeah, smile and say hello, good morning. Hi. Michelle.
Well, my business advice is something I would give a young person, which is, if you're young, say you're just starting out, you're in your 20s, don't assume that people who are older than you, in the company, while you should treat them with respect, don't assume that they know more and that, they're better and have better advice. When I was in my 20s, and Andy, we worked together when we were in our 20s at another company. I would sometimes be quiet in meetings, and people would give ideas who were older and more experienced, and I assumed that, then my idea is no good because they obviously know better than I am. And, young people have a lot to contribute.
Oh, yeah,
so I would definitely not be afraid to speak your mind, and, maybe your idea is better. Maybe you have just as good ideas and no more.
As the oldest person here, Kathy, how do you feel about that?
She doesn't like my idea.
I hate it.
Michelle, what's your piece of advice?
I have two. I have one kind of similar to Andy's, but a little different. Make friends with your competitors.
That's a good one, too.
I think it's okay. And mm-hmm. I think that you learn a lot of information, not just competitive intelligence, but you can, you know, there's one person who's distinctly in the same position you are. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of our competitors, and mm-hmm. I know a lot of suppliers who vacation together, you know, with their competitors, and a lot of distributors who travel together on the road, and I think it makes everybody's business better.
Yeah, that's
internally, I would say, I think it's really important to have empathy for dumbasses. I just
wait. But you won't take your own advice then.
Yeah. I think it's important to try. I think you have to look at some people and think that's just as good as they're ever going to get, and to just feel bad for them. That's it.
So don't feel bad for them. You know?
So you have empathy for them.
I try
in ways that don't change anything.
Well, I'm. You know, they are what they are.
I'm not sure she's genuine in that advice. No. But anyway.
No, I don't think so.
I look at the lackluster and I feel bad for them. I wish they could do better, but they just can't.
She wishes they could all be all right.
I'm afraid to speak.
They have attained 100%, and they cannot possibly do
any
better.
And I get to work with her closely.
Wow.
All right, that's some advice today.
Shocking.
Take it or leave it from Michelle Bell. All right, we are going to move on and talk about company culture. We've talked about business advice, but Joe.
Yes.
All companies, no matter how big they are, I think, can benefit from having an entrepreneurial spirit.
Yes.
And you are going to talk about how to keep your entrepreneurial edge as you grow, something everyone in the industry wants to do, I'm assuming.
Right. Okay. It's kind of three easy things. One, you have to hire the right people. You have to hire the people who have the same type of vision as you, have the same type of, you know, get up and go and drive it that you have. So hire the right people. But there comes a time when you might have to hire outside management. If you're too close to the product, if you're too close to the culture, you might need that outside perspective. So bring in someone. So don't forget that. And then finally, you need to then create a chief culture officer. They actually do this at Yahoo. That, you know, if someone came in and they make sure that they have that, you know, what do they have? All the crazy stuff there at the corporate headquarters.
All the crazy stuff.
You know, all the crazy stuff that they do there. So, you know, hire a corporate culture manager, and that'll help you keep your entrepreneurial edge.
I would say you don't even need to necessarily hire that person. If you're in a very small company, you can almost appoint somebody who's already there to take on that kind of role. You know, somebody who cares about the culture of the mm-hmm. company. And, you know, maybe it's a way to promote them in a certain respect. But give them the responsibility to kind of oversee that the culture is fostering entrepreneurialism, because that is important.
Speaking mm-hmm. of culture, Joe and Andy and I are going to take a little
road
trip in
that's
less than 2 weeks. We're going to visit some as many companies as we can that are going to be on this year's Counselor Best Places to Work list. And
around the world in 8 days.
A lot of great things at the companies we visited. Last year we visited how many companies? 21?
No, it was a little less than that. I think 17.
Whatever it was, I remember that I think about at least double-digit number of the companies we visited allowed dogs in the workplace, which was
that's a common thing.
Finding mm-hmm. from last year.
How many are you visiting this year?
It's around the same number. I think it's 16 or 17 in 8 days.
Yes.
Who's ready for a road trip?
I'm ready.
Road trip.
All right.
We got jackets.
Joe, you mentioned...
You have jackets, yes.
Joe, you mentioned Yahoo, and Kathy, coincidentally, has some cool info for us this morning on Yahoo's brand new marketing strategy.
Yeah, Kathy. I don't have a lot of information on this because I just got the headline. But apparently,
perhaps you could have printed it out.
You know what? Why don't you say the headline and then we'll expound.
Okay. I know what happened. Last week in Times Square, Yahoo had brand ambassadors dressed in their colors give out logo jelly beans in their colors, packets of logo jelly beans, to promote their brand new weather app. So they wanted everybody to download this weather app. And apparently the women or girls who were handing out the logo jelly beans said in baby voices, "Download our weather app." Yeah, that's what I read.
Voices?
Yeah, that's what it said.
Okay, I don't quite understand where the baby voices come in, but the whole idea of that strategy is really good. That, mm-hmm. like live events and launching new things in sort of person-to-person, one-to-one ways, that is really common, and that is really good news for distributors.
Because Times Square is a great place to do it.
As you said, they were giving out logo jelly beans. They are always giving out logoed something at those events, so that is a tremendous opportunity mm-hmm. for distributors, and it's a good story. The baby talk, I have no idea what the hell that was.
Wow. Google it. Oh, or Yahoo it.
Yahoo it. They just changed their logo, too.
Right, they did. I don't like it.
But did they take the exclamation point out?
No, it's it now it's animated.
What do you mean it's animated?
It kind of like comes in, like dances. And, ooh,
But how did...
Can you demonstrate that again for the video watchers?
It looks like you have a palsy.
I've never danced like an exclamation point before.
How do you animate a logo that's just...
I think that's only on the online showcasing of the logo, Andy.
Okay, but the exclamation point does exist, like on the jelly beans. It would have been there?
I would assume yes, because it's still on the logo. No, well, once you start eating it.
All right, Michelle, you travel a lot.
Taking an odd turn.
Michelle Bell travels a lot internationally for business. You go to China. Where do you go? Hong Kong.
France.
Where do you go on your
representing
France.
America.
Anyway, today you're going to give us 6 tech must-haves for international business travel.
Yep. Who here knows what a kitten laptop is?
Everybody.
I do.
Yeah, we all do.
Because I have one.
It's really important when you travel overseas, especially if you want to do work on your plane, to get one of those smaller netbook computers.
Oh,
they're about $450 because of the size that you have to work. It varies greatly on the different size of planes. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you could be on a plane to China where you have a lot of space. Planes to Europe, which tend to be a little bit older, you don't. So, you know, a full-size laptop.
We bring these to the ASI shows, too.
We do. It's really convenient just to bring a smaller laptop for space-wise. When you're overseas, especially if you're in Asia, because the cost of using your smartphone is exorbitant, get an international SIM card. I do not do this because I'm too lazy to go through the whole rigmarole and process, but it saves a fortune. You just swap out the SIM card, and you only get charged based on local carrying fees.
I would love to see you swapping out a SIM card.
I can't even
I would like to see her try and identify where the SIM card actually is.
I mean, just video of that, seeing Michelle trying to swap out a SIM card, that would be priceless.
These next 2 points, I think, are really key for people who do a lot work in their hotel rooms on their laptops. I have no idea what either one of these things mean, but we'll post them online. Use a portable router, blah, blah, and blah, blah. And get some cable savers. I don't know what that is either. But Vinny will post them all
online.
Okay,
so Michelle's the ideal person to be presenting this topic. We'll have much more comprehensive information online at anticentral.com/radio. All right. Joe.
Yo.
You're into music. You and I used to play song pop all the time,
yeah.
And then you abandoned me. But you are going to talk to us today about cover songs and what they can teach you about your business.
Okay, well, first of all, who has a favorite cover song that a band has done? Go ahead, Michelle.
Sexual Healing by Soul Asylum.
Okay. Vinny's raising his hand.
Man for Man, Blinded by the Light.
That's
Andy,
a good one, actually. I can't immediately come up with one.
I Will Survive by Cake. I think they do a fantastic
job.
Oh,
yeah, that's good.
So what this article does, this reporter, he went to a Pearl Jam concert with his son, and for an encore, they decided they were going to play Bob O'Reilly. And the dad got all excited. He goes, oh, I know this song. This is from the, you know, who? And the son goes, yeah, but now the Pearl Jam owns this song because how well they played
that's
it.
That's debatable.
And how they changed it, Kathy, and that's the thing here. So you're taking your existing company, your products and services, and how do you think like a cover band? Well, one, think outside the jukebox. Get it?
Yeah, I got it.
He wrote it.
Well done.
Be as creative and imaginative as possible when putting together a strategy for your business. And when he says this, think of the Ramones and their punk version of this theme from the Spider-Man cartoon series, okay? They're the
Sing
ones.
Sing it.
The next one is be unique. Take an existing product or service,
really
make changes
deafening.
To it, and then present it to the market as something new and different. And one of Michelle's favorite bands, the Rolling Stones, actually did this with their 1978 remake of Just My Imagination, which was a Temptations hit, and did it in a completely different way. Own the song as well. They say you really like Pearl Jam was owning Bob O'Reilly. You need to own what you're putting out there. You need to be the one that people think about. Now, he gives an example of the Star Spangled Banner 3. First, Woodstock, Jimi Hendrix played. Then it was Marvin Gaye at NBA basketball All-Star game. Completely put a different spin on that. He owned it. And, of course, the most famous version of the Star Spangled Banner?
Whitney Houston?
Whitney Houston at the Super Bowl.
I thought you were going to say Roseanne Barr.
Which she lip-synced?
Regardless, it broke
saying.
The Star Spangled Banner broke into the top 10 on the Billboard charts.
I
mean, it's amazing. So they actually owned it. And finally, embrace innovation. Do something different. A song by J.J. Cole. He recorded in 1966, After Midnight. Mm-hmm. I never knew that wasn't an Eric Clapton song. Clapton did it two different ways too. He remade it, and then he did it a second time as a rock version, and then he did a second time as a blues version, and both were very successful. So embrace the innovation. Just because something is very popular out there in the marketplace that you're doing or selling or showing your clients, think of ways to change it. If anything, successfully updated versions of cover songs prove that innovation and creative thinking can bring new life to mature products and services.
They had do you guys watch The Newsroom on HBO? Michelle,
I know
you
it.
Do. The finale ended with a cover song of Pete Townsend, My Love, Open the Door.
Yeah.
It was a very cool version. I don't even know who sung it, but it was good. My favorite cover song ever is Sonic Youth redid Superstar by the Carpenters.
Yeah, that's great.
And they played it in that movie with the pregnant girl, Juno.
Mm-hmm. With the pregnant
girl.
But they made it, like, super creepy and cool when it was a Carpenter song. So that's my favorite cover.
Cool.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe Haley.
Oh, you're welcome.
Kathy Houston, who would want to sabotage their business?
Not me.
certainly not.
Oh, my God. I think we've bored Kathy.
Certainly none of us would. But apparently you have 7 ways that you might be sabotaging your business. So let's make sure no one's doing this.
Okay. You think that life is great, and you just, like, go along your merry way thinking everything's great.
That's no good?
That's no good. When you feel like this,
that's when you get complacent.
It's time to be on your guard. That's right. Dig hard into your operation to see what could possibly go wrong.
Okay.
So, you know, be kind of like Andy. Do a deep dive.
Wait, what?
I hate that saying, deep dive. Do a deep dive of every department. Remember, you're not trying to determine if you have problems. You do, Andy. Oh. You're trying to find out what they are.
All right.
Okay, this is another one. Everyone makes nice in meetings. There's, like, no confrontation, nobody disagreeing with other people. That would never happen among us. It says that you should encourage and even demand that people engage in conflict. Make it clear that the absence of conflict is not okay, but just be sure it's the productive kind.
I don't know that conflict is necessary per se, but conflicting opinions.
Yeah, like right now you're disagreeing.
I am. Yeah, well,
that's
what I
do. But are you just being a contrarian?
Am I? No, okay. I'm not.
But it says, Andy, to your point, it says conflict needs to be managed, measured, and meaningful. Otherwise, it turns destructive. So you just have to train everyone.
You don't just
on the team.
Be a naysayer, but
actually come up with.
No, I think that's the point. Yeah, don't just be a naysayer. Actually, have ideas. And
absolutely.
And the point is that in meetings, different ideas should be encouraged.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know, the first idea comes out, great. Who's got another? And who's got another? You know, when it's just one person's ideas. You know, it's
no
not
good.
It's no good.
That's right. And here's one that we discussed last week on our show. Your toxic employees are killing off your customers, so get rid of them. Go toxic employee hunting. Take this one organization layer at a time and start asking who the toxic people are. And don't buy the excuse that no one knows who they are, because somebody knows and somebody will tell you who they are.
Yeah, so. Everybody knows.
Yeah, everybody knows.
I'm always amazed that sometimes when you call a company and that first person will answer the phones, how, you know, rude and ignorant they can be, and like they don't want to talk to you and you're wasting their time, mm-hmm. and you know you're bothering them, and it's like, wow, these are the people.
They're a toxic employee.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna
or an ignorant one.
We're gonna put those
Michelle
kids?
Like you say,
Andy.
<We're gonna laughs> Well, you have no patience for those types of people.
I don't.
Check that out online at asicentral.com/radio. Michelle,
yeah,
in just a minute we're going to talk about cockamamie phrases marketers should avoid.
Actually, it's silly phrases, but I added the cockamamie.
Yes.
Well, I like that word.
But right before that, we're going to take a pause for a message from today's show sponsor, AIA. And when we return, there's more from Michelle.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized, individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. where Michelle is going to tell us cockamamie phrases that my marketers should avoid.
Starts with cockamamie.
Can we just say there's a lot to be said for speaking in marketing succinctly and with clarity?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All evidence to the contrary, because marketers are famous for using language like, what did you just
say? Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Yeah.
And my new favorite, drilling down to the granular level.
What?
Yes.
What does that even mean?
That's basically deep dive.
That's a marketing term.
Yes, it is.
It's like a pepper mill.
Yeah. So here are some that experts say to avoid because they're unnecessary. Just speak clearly and convey what you want
to
say.
Just speak.
Speak clearly. Demand creation. Do you guys know what that phrase means? I'll give you
some
context.
You're creating demand?
This trade show is a demand creation activity.
That's what? Stupid.
Why well, just
that's...
not say, you know, this trade huh? show?
Yeah, I know, really.
The fact that all four of you are perplexed by that says a lot, mm-hmm. right? No amount of marketing can create demand. Either customers need a product or service or they don't. If they do, the demand is already there. If they don't, the demand doesn't exist. It's
true.
As simple as that, truly. If you tailor your marketing around something like that and use simple language to do it, it'll be a success. Another one, this is an oldie but a goodie, brand equity.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, what does that mean? Oh, there's that.
Who made that sound?
This expert says the entire concept of brand equity, and I'm using air quotes, is mostly a scam. While huge, instantly recognizable brands like Coke and Sony do have value, though probably less than they claim, that's what the expert's saying, most brands could disappear off the face of the earth and nobody would notice. The phase results in bad marketing because of the squishiness in the concept makes it impossible to measure whether they've given marketing activity that was worth the cost.
I think that's a little harsh, but there's something to be said for being something, some mm-hmm. brand in your customer's eyes. I agree. If you're just doing brand marketing or advertising, you know, that's probably missing the boat,
yep.
You know, for most companies other than the biggest, like you just named, but there, you want to be something, you want to be known for something in your customer's eyes, either the quick service or the, you know, the best turnaround or, that you'll, you know, do whatever they ask, essentially. Like I think we had a caller last week that was talking about saying, you know, yeah, if somebody asks me for something that seems like a request I can't do, I won't say no. I'll just put a price tag on
sure.
it. You know, so you want to be known for something.
I think the phrase brand equity is my problem.
Right.
I mean, it's
yeah.
such an ambiguous
right,
term.
It
and
is.
It's more flashy than having substance. Like, what
right.
does that really mean? There are a couple of them here, and I'll have Vinny put them online, but there's just one I want to address because I'm seeing it more and more in the press releases that I get. I don't know if you guys are. Under embargo. Now, if you're
yes.
a writer or a journalist, you know what that phrase means.
Yeah.
It means you're given something, but you're not allowed to publish it before a set period
right.
of time. But PR people are using it now because they want to generate buzz. So they're sending out press releases that say this is under embargo, thinking that reporters are going to, you know, be more applicable to, you know, want to print it to
uh-huh.
give it, you know, attention.
Because it's so important.
Yeah, no. Don't do
that. Yeah, yeah, it should only no. be for, you know, a super
legit,
secret, like, yeah, important announcement.
The experts say this phrase results in bad marketing because business reporters have an attention span of about 10 minutes and delete anything that they can't immediately write about.
That is
and
true.
I would say that's true.
That's
yeah,
true.
Definitely.
Yeah, that is a frustrating thing, actually.
All right, well, we're going to put a lot more phrases online at asicentral.com/radio. Andy, this is a topic we've talked about a lot lately, especially at the ASI Power Summit the other week. You're going to give some tips for empowering employees, and I know in your leadership issue in Counselor, you're saying that that's extremely important for customers to focus on right now.
It certainly is. You know, if you want to create a good culture, it can't just be a top-down dictated thing. You want to empower your people to kind of not necessarily do their own thing, but have the leeway to operate in sort of individual ways. So here are some tips. I'll give three or four, and then we'll post the rest to our website. The first is to foster open communication. Like I was just saying, top-down communication, if that's all you have, that's not going to work. You need to also foster bottom-up. You need to, like we were just talking about before, have meetings where everybody feels free to share ideas and to brainstorm in a way that they could feel that their ideas are being included. Second is to kind of encourage failure. Safe failure is what this article says, but encourage risk-taking. You know, if everybody's just following the safe path and just doing the same thing every day, like Kathy was saying earlier with being complacent and happy, then that's not necessarily the best environment for people to thrive in. You know, they want to know that they can take some risks and succeed in ways that weren't succeeded in before. So try to encourage some risk-taking in the business. Last is to support their independence. Like I was saying, just don't micromanage every single task. You have to, if you're hiring people, then you should be confident enough in your hiring and training practice that people can do jobs on their own without being told what to do every step of the way.
Like
it's
picking cheese and crackers.
Yes, exactly. You need to give people some space. Otherwise, they're going to feel like there's no reason for them to be there. They're basically just machines that are operating when you tell them to. That's not good enough. You need to actually let them perform tasks in ways that they think are best. And then if you see something that you think is wrong, then go back and address it later on and figure out how to make it better for the future. But don't micromanage every last task.
All right, those are some great tips, and we're going to put more online at asicentral.com/radio. And Kathy, do you have any bumper stickers on your car?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't want to declass it.
Apparently,
I think you do that enough.
Joe, do you have
on your own.
Do you have any bumper stickers?
I do not. I just have a window decal for my son's school, but I'm not a bumper sticker guy.
All right. Well, Kathy is going to tell us what our bumper stickers say about each of us. What do you have?
Well, you know, it's kind of like, duh. Like, you have your family stickers, your stick figures.
That was on my old car.
On your old car. Okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah, those are the kinds of things. And this reporter is describing bumper stickers he's seeing around Philadelphia. So for one woman, he says you don't have to talk to her to know that she's a Phillies fan, a Christian, and a political conservative. So in a lot of ways, the bumper stickers make your car a mobile messaging system. And, you know, they're advertising who you are as a person and what your beliefs are, what your passions are, whether you have family, whether you have a couple of cats, you know, dogs.
Like I was behind a car the other day, and there were two bumper stickers. I speak Klingon, and my other car is a Millennium Falcon, and that guy's not having sex.
That's right. That's what that says about him. That's right.
All right.
So anyway, you know, self-expression is a powerful human motive, and a lot of people like to do this through bumper stickers, which is great for our industry. And
well, you know what I was just going to say is even more popular, I see, because I go to a lot of my kids' sporting events, or the little magnetic things, because those don't muck up your car.
Exactly.
And I mean, we've had lots of those. Right now, I think I Love My Dachshund is up on the car, but we've had volleyball and cheer and soccer ones, and it's a great fundraiser for schools.
And if your kid's an honor student, you know, you see a lot of those, and then you see the ones
I don't get those
with pet lovers that say my dog's smarter than your kid. Honor student.
It's bragging parents. I mean, parents want to brag. They're proud of their kids, so they want everyone to know my kid's smart.
I don't get my kid is an honor student.
Yeah.
His kid must not be an honor student.
He's great, but he's in fourth grade.
Yeah, I mean.
But I don't get that.
I don't get
that.
You know what I really hate?
I know what you hate.
Tell me.
In love and memory of the person's name.
Oh, my God, they're so morbid.
That is pretty.
I think that's a Philly thing. I was talking to someone in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they don't have those there. I think that might be a regional thing.
I hate that.
Well, I've also seen in Philly tattoos with, you know, people's photos of and RIP.
Philly people are characters.
All right. On that note, we have just enough time for the editors to talk about their favorite products of the week. Joe, we're going to start with you.
Oh, sweet. All right, Vinny, get that camera ready. I have a multi-tool. Let me open this up. You see, we have a set of pliers here. There's 10 tools and one pliers. There's wire cutters there. There's also knives and screwdrivers and stuff. This is great for anyone in Jewish, the great outdoors, camper, fishermen, hunters. It's good to have in your glove compartment. Thank you. Your car. You can get this from Fields Manufacturing. Find them online at www.fieldsmfg.com.
Andy Cohn, what's your favorite product of the week?
All right, you wouldn't know it from the 85-degree weather here in the Northeast last week, but winter is indeed coming, and so these are personalized snow globes, which would be a cool gift or incentive program
item. I think
Kathy
would like one.
And Kathy Houston would like one. So, Kathy, you could go to ZZ Promos, ASI 99555, and get your own.
Joe Show last week.
What are they personalized with? Like, what can you?
Say you manufacture tools, so you can put the tool inside. Maybe you're just an agency and you like your new
really
building.
Custom.
You can put your building inside there. If
awesome.
You know you have a great employee like Michelle Bell, you put a picture of her
in there.
Oh, we'd like a
little Michelle.
I'd like to see
Michelle
that. Actually, that would be hilarious.
You know, I think an ASI radio host snow globe would be awesome for the holidays.
Oh,
that would be awesome.
How about that?
Are you listening, ZZ?
ZZ Promos, ASI Radio snow globe. We want it.
Absolutely. Kathy, what's your favorite product?
Well, mine's something that Michelle will never need. It's an iPhone speaker. It's it's little, but it has a big sound. It's from EasyDocs, D-O-K-S. I don't have their ASI number.
I need one of those.
It will be online. Yeah, and the good thing is, too, I mean, it's good for home, dorm, office, because it's small. You could put it in your purse, bring it anywhere. And it charges three other devices at the same time, too.
That's great.
Yeah.
Michelle, why don't you bring up the rear?
Okay. Mine is from Gemline, 56070, gemline.com. Just in time for the holidays, this is a great gift with purchase item, and it's a really cute little mini tote in a retro style, and it can be trimmed in gold or silver, and it comes in a multitude of colors. It's really snazzy.
All right. You can see all those products online at asicentral.com/radio. We are out of time. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to today's show sponsor, AIA, and be sure to tune in next week when what's going to happen? Andy and Joe and I are going to be broadcasting somewhere in America. Will we be in America? I think we will.
Why don't you ever go overseas to best companies?
It's a North American.
We went to Canada.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's not overseas.
It's outside the U.S.
But let's keep in mind, too, these are ASI members. So, of course, they're going to be in North America.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we'll be broadcasting live from somewhere in America at a Best Places to Work company. And so we will talk to you then. Have a great day, everyone. Great week. Bye-bye.